go ahead and get started. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on today's conference call. My name is Christina Hunkin, and I'm Program Assistant with the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. I'm going to give a brief introduction to today's call titled The Department of Veterans Affairs Capital Grant Process. This call is being recorded and is made possible by technical assistance grants given to NCHV, and the audio recording will be made available to our callers within the next few days, and I'll send out an email to everyone when that call is the recording's available. Our presentation handout is available on our website. I sent out an email to everyone earlier today with the presentation, but in the case that you didn't receive that email, you can download that presentation right now by going to our website, which is www.nchv.org. On the right side of our homepage, there's a conference calls icon. If you click on that, it will take you to a link for this call if you click on that as well. And then you'll see next to the date, today's date, it will say to download presentation, click here. So please do take a few minutes to download the presentation right now so you can follow along during Melanie's presentation. And if you did not have an opportunity to send in questions before today's call, Melanie will be answering questions during her presentation and following the presentation. Okay, I'm now going to mute all the lines to reduce background noise. Okay, to unmute your line, if you'd like to ask a question, press *7. That's *7. And then to mute your line, you can press mute button on your phone or *6. Okay, thank you again for joining us. And I would now like to turn our call over to NCHV's Director of Technical Assistance and Finance, Melanie Lilliston. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. I want to welcome everybody to the conference call this afternoon. I'm going to be kind of dividing this call up into two different sections with an overview, and then we're going to get into a lot more specifics about what the program offers and answer any questions that you may have. We did this call last week, and I know that there was quite a number of questions, so I'm going to go through this material quickly in that regard, and I can always go back and spend more time on anything that you guys may have questions on. But I am going to go through this material quickly since you can look through that at your leisure. But the focus of today's call is going to be the capital grant. The first thing I will say is that currently we have been told that there is going to be a capital grant announcement fairly soon. We do not know when, and we don't know for how much and any of the specifics, but we do know that we believe it will be a capital grant, and that will be offered probably within the next, fairly soon, I would say, anywhere from tomorrow to, 3 or 4 weeks from now. So please take some time to look on our website for that material and get yourself familiar with that. Now's the time to get prepared and make sure that your organization is well-versed in what the application is asking as well as what you will need in order to complete that. If you have not signed up for our e-newsletter, you can do that on our website, which is nchv.org. On the left-hand side, there's a button that says sign up for our e-newsletter. We do send out an e-newsletter every 2 weeks, and we also send out announcements of trainings and conference calls, as well as if and when the NOFA does come out, we will put that and announce that to everyone. So you'll be one of the first people to know that if you sign up for our listserv. So I would highly recommend you to do that. You can also look through our homepage. We do list current other training and funding opportunities for organizations serving veterans. So it's a great way to get all the resources that you need in kind of one particular location. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and start and provide some just general information so that everybody's kind of on the same page when we talk about homeless veterans and the different types of programs and definitions that we're going to talk about. The first definition I'm going to refer to is the definition of a homeless veteran. And this is really important when you're thinking about the design and implementation of your program. The definition in particular says someone who lacks a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence or has a nighttime residence that is supervised publicly or privately operated shelter designed to provide temporary living conditions. So anyone that may be in a night shelter, one that closes during the day and individuals come there. A person who is an institution that provides temporary residence for individuals intended to be institutionalized, so anyone that may be mental or drug rehab facility, this would be included there. A public or private place not designed for, originally used as a regular sleeping accommodations for human beings. These would be people that would be under your bridges, people that are generally on the street. What I will say is that this definition does not talk and refer to incarcerated individuals or people who were doubled up. So if you have a veteran who is living in his mother's, brother's, sister's, friend's, cousin's house on their couch, that person is technically not homeless. And so you want to keep that in mind when you're dealing with and you're looking with the federal definition of homelessness and how it relates to a homeless veteran. In order to be eligible for your program underneath the grant per diem, they must be a veteran, which means that they have to be discharged from the military with anything other than a dishonorable discharge, and they have to fall into this definition. So if you have someone that's doubled up that is not considered homelessness, they are not considered to be homeless under the definition of the VA. The VA estimates that there are roughly 196,000 homeless veterans on a given night. This number is going down as programs continue to grow, but we are also seeing an increase in the number of veterans requesting services as the current conflict continues to go on. So while this number does continue to get smaller, the request for services continues to increase, and we have a strong feeling that given the state of the economy that this number is going to stay pretty constant, if not increase, due to the cost of living and the economic climate as it may be. Just in general information, if your organization is not familiar with why sometimes veterans are homeless, male veterans are twice as likely to become homeless because of the fact of there's a lot of different factors, but one of them being the PTSD and mental problems that may come. Most of the individuals that you're going to be dealing with are going to have dual diagnosis, if sometimes not triple type things where they're dealing with substance abuse, chronic PTSD, as well as, just some physical disability that may be deliberating them from being able to function in society. So it's just something to keep in mind is that there are a lot of factors. Not one factor will make someone homeless. It's the, all of the combination of the factors that does make someone homeless. Like one of my colleagues here says, homelessness is not the problem. It's the end result of three or four or five or six different things that happen to an individual. We are also seeing an increase in the number of female veterans, and they are four times more likely to be homeless than their non-veterans counterparts. Same type of things, the sexual assaults that go on, just the different types of PTSD and the different needs that a lot of veterans, particularly females, are having to deal with. A lot deal with and are living with post-traumatic stress disorders, and those are often a result of their military service. One of the main things that you want to keep in mind when designing your program is that a lot of veterans in most cases, are going to lack the family and social networks that keep a lot of us in our stable community, keep us stable in our community. This is important because if a veteran is not able to have that connection to a community or an individual in that community, they're not going to have ties and they're not going to feel like they are able to connect and be a productive part of society. And you want to make sure that your organization is able to help that individual make that connection. As we all know, government money is limited and currently serves about 1 in 5 veterans in need. And this goes for health care as well as just general needs that an individual may have. But generally, the biggest reflex there is when you're dealing with the need for health care. All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the program, particularly the Homeless Providers Grant and Per Diem Program. This program is offered from the Department of Veterans Affairs, and it provides grant and per diem payments to public and nonprofit organizations that provide housing and services for homeless veterans. It has been around since 1994, and the program is funded throughout all 50 states. meaning that when you apply for this grant, you're not only applying for it and competing for it with organizations in your community, you're competing across the country for this. There are programs in all 50 states, so everybody does have an equal shot with that, but just keep it in mind when you're making your case in your application that you are going to be competing with numerous other organizations in this process. There are two types of funding, the grant, which is sometimes referred to as the capital component, and the per diem component. In particular, we're going to talk about the capital grant. These funds are used for acquisition, construction, and renovation. The VA will provide 65% of your total budget for the project. Now, two things that I want to really iterate right now is that these would be for new facilities or new components. So if you have an existing program and you want to build a program or do something along those lines, it would have to be for a new component of that. So if you have a 10-bed facility right now and you want to grow it to 20, then you would be able to get funding for 10 for that. For what you would be looking for would be funding for the 10-bed facility that you would be looking to build. The other thing I want to note is that the VA will provide 65% of the funding for the entire project. So if you're purchasing land and then you're doing construction on that land, you want to add those costs together so that you have a total budget. Likewise, if you're acquiring a building and you're going to have to do renovation on that, same type of thing applies. So you want to make sure that your budget is all-inclusive and that it's the total budget for the project, not a portion of the acquisition, construction, or renovation. And that is very important when you're doing your total budget. Okay, some of the things that it's allowed within the grant and what is not allowed, remodeling, expanding properties, VA properties is allowed. You will have to have if it is a VA property, a long-term lease, which is sometimes 15 to at least 10 to 15 years long, but you are not allowed to acquire VA properties. So you can have a long-term lease with a VA property, but you're not allowed to actually purchase the property with the VA funds. And then operating costs and salaries are not allowed. Those are paid through your per diem, which you are eligible to receive if you receive capital. But the capital is just for those three specific things, the acquisition, construction, and renovation of the building. So when you're looking in and creating your budgets, you're not going to be including your operating costs and salaries. Those are going to be covered underneath your per diem. And the per diem pays for the combination of those operating costs as well as your supportive housing and your supportive services component. So once your building is up and running, the per diem will pay for your supportive housing, which would include your housing and all of the costs that go with that, as well as your supportive services. So we're talking case management, employment, all of those things that you said that would be offered within your grant, that is what is paid for by the per diem. Keep in mind that the maximum per diem is around $33 and some change, so you most likely are going to have some additional funding with that, but the VA will give you a per diem rate based on the types of services that you are offering. And those services will be listed within your grant application. Some of the customary services that will be provided based on where you're located and the different types of relationships that you may have. Of course, this list is not all-inclusive and it is by no means something that I would take a look at and see if, you know, there are health and dental services being offered in your community. You don't want to duplicate any services that are there. You want to fill in the gaps. So take a look at your challenge report, which I'll talk about it in a little bit, and find out what the greatest needs are and where the biggest gaps are. And that's what you want to focus, what services you're going to be provided in that area. Just like any other government program, the VA does not want to pay for duplication of services, or they don't want to pay for something that can be achieved through another funding source. So be really careful when you're looking at the types of service you're going to be offering and make sure that they are not being offered anywhere else. Okay, for those of you following along, I have just moved to slide number 9. And like I said, I'm going to try to go through this quickly so there's plenty of time to answer questions. The goal of this program, and this is what you're going to want to focus on throughout your application and through your program design, is to help veterans to achieve residential stability, increase their level and or income, and obtain greater self-determination. These are the three things that you're going to want to make sure that you have included and are the focus of your program package. In order to receive the VA funds, you must be a, funds, as I mentioned before, are for acquisition, renovation, and construction. Transitional housing, which is up to 24 months, and you must be a new program, meaning that it has to be for something that is going to be in existence. I get a lot of questions, asked me, we already built the program, can we get money for that? No, it's for when you apply for that, you can only receive funding when that grant starts. So even money spent in between when the application was announced and when it's due is not eligible. The only eligible activities are when that grant is funded. You will get a letter that says your grant has been approved starting at this date. Anything spent at that time forward would be allowable underneath that as long as it was included within your budget. Let's see. Fundable, there, on occasion they will fund vans, and they will. These will be depending on the NOFA, and we won't really have that much information, but it is an allowable expense would be for vans, and they are often for new or old providers that are the vans would be used for transportation or outreach. So once that NOFA does come out, we'll have a better idea, but in most instances, vans are an allowable expense, and they will be listed within that announcement. In order to receive funds, this is key. You must be a nonprofit, 501c3, 501c19, which is a veteran service organization. The key here is you have to have the letter in hand from the IRS. That doesn't mean that you've sent in your letter and you have received acknowledgement from them that they have received it and are reviewing it. It means that you have your determination letter from the IRS in hand. You have to have that when you submit your application or you are not eligible. So if you're thinking or you've applied for that status but yet have yet to hear from the IRS for that determination and the NOFA would come out tomorrow, for instance, you would not be eligible to receive funding under this funding cycle. You would have to wait till the next round unless you're going to partner with another organization, which is allowable. Just note that the money would go to the nonprofit organization and it would be their duty and responsibility to distribute that money to you. So make sure that you have some strong MOUs in place so that way your organization can get paid. State and local governments are eligible as well as Indian tribal governments. All right. Some of the things that we're going to talk about in that you're going to want to talk about is the different types of services that veterans need. And I mentioned this before, but you're going to want to make sure that your program is working in conjunction and that you're networking and coordinating with other programs in your area. This would include your VA, most importantly, but you also want to make sure that there are ways that that individual of those veterans can get job development, employment, job assessment, training, either through your program or through other ones. These are typically the programs that that individuals need and are going to have when they are going to be successful and reach those three goals of the program as we talked about earlier. Okay, I think I'm going to stop right here and answer questions on things I've already addressed. So if there's questions on the things that I've talked about already, I'll be glad to address that. If you have other questions specific to the application, please hold off and wait till I give that presentation. I'm going to get ready to go into the grant application, but I just wanted to give a brief overview of veterans, what types of services they need, and who is eligible for these grants. So if you have a question at this point in time on the information I've already submitted, you can go ahead and hit *7 on your phone, and I can take a couple questions here.
Hi, Michelle, this is Angelica.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question. When you were reviewing the customer services, you mentioned that we didn't want to duplicate services. You wanted to fill in the gap. And then you mentioned a report that we needed to check.
Okay, the challenge report, which is available. It's a yearly report that's done by your VA Medical Center. And you can get that on the VA's website, which is va.gov. On the right-hand side, towards the bottom of the page, it says Homeless Veterans.
Mm-hmm.
When you click on that link, it opens a new page, and on the left-hand side, it's CHALENG. In the left-hand side, I think it's a blue side on theirs.
Okay.
That gives you an overview of the report. And you're going to want to download that whole entire document. Now, what I'll tell you is that that is a it's a pretty good starting point, but it is limited. It's a self-reporting mechanism, meaning that individuals in the community are asked to fill it in. They aren't required to fill it in, so it may not be all-inclusive. It's a good place to start, but if you have other data in your community that you could use, you could always reference that, but you want to make sure that you at least reference the challenge material in your application.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there other questions in regards to the things I've already covered? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go on to the grant application.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes.
All right. Just go over the difference between the 65% and the 55% that you were talking about earlier.
Well, 65% is the amount that the VA will pay. The 35% is the match that you would have to come up with in private funding in order to receive the full amount of funding. I'm not sure what 55% you're referring to. But 65% is the match that the VA will have. 35% of your total budget must come from private funding. Some organizations would be eligible for can use federal funds, but what I will tell you is that if you're going to use federal funds as a match, you need to check with the VA because in most instances it is not allowed. You need to look for non-federal dollars to match that 65%.
Thank you.
Hello?
Another question? Yes, go ahead.
You said the qualifications in order to get the grant money has to be for new buildings. I understand. Say mm-hmm. you have a building and you're going to use it to help out homeless veterans, say it's a drug and alcohol or a training program, you said the money can only be used if you construct a new building?
Well, if you're going to renovate a building, do you have current funding underneath the VA?
No, I don't.
Okay, then that would be a new program.
Okay.
That would be a new program underneath the VA.
Okay. All right, that was my question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If you have never received VA funding before, then it would be a new program. That comes into play if you have current VA funding and you wanted to request more, then you would have to be expanding that program. But keep in mind, if you have a current program that the VA will only pay for service to veterans, 75% of your program must be focused in on veterans. That means if you have a 100-bed facility, 75 of those must be for veterans. The other 25 can be for their spouses, children, or just general homeless population. But but those beds cannot receive per diem from the VA.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
If let's assume, for example, there's a $1 million project and we own a piece of land valued at $350,000, does that suffice as the 35% match?
Okay, this is where it gets really tricky, is that you can receive and you can get some match from a donation or an in-kind contribution. However, you will have to have a portion of funding in cash. I can't tell you what that is. You probably have to speak with someone at the VA, but they will not. But I do know and I can tell you that you can't have all of your match be an in-kind donation.
Okay, but there's some portion that might be considered.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm not – yes. Let's say of that $35,000 or $350,000, of that, if you could have, you know and I'm just guessing here. I don't know. It varies from project to project, and a lot of it depends on what that in-kind donation is. But if they valued that land and said that, the match of that could be $150,000, there's a possibility that that could be a portion of your match, probably not all of it, but you would have to come up with the rest of that in cash.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
When they pay a per diem, is it based on the bed capacity of the facility? And is that paid whether the bed is filled or not filled?
It's paid on if the bed is filled. So if your program will be approved for, let's say you apply for 40 beds, your program would be approved for 40 beds, but those beds have to be filled for 40 beds for it to be approved, for you to be get paid for that. So if you only have 15 veterans in those beds, you would only get paid for 15.
Is that a day per day basis?
That's a per day basis, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about the 501c status.
Yes.
You stated for a new program that it would have to be submitted with the application. Is that correct?
You apply to the IRS for that. So if you are a new program and you have a new organization that you have not gotten your status yet, you would have to apply to the IRS in order to do that before you submit to the VA. It's two different approval processes. You have to be deemed a 501c3 by the Department of Internal Revenue Service. And once you receive that designation from them, then you would be eligible for federal funds under grants. And then
okay.
You could apply for the VA funding.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take a couple more questions, and then I'm going to move on so we get all of the material covered. Is there any other question on what I've covered so far?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask a question on which areas. So you said like male veterans and female veterans. So you're saying male veterans are 2 times likely and female veterans are 5 times likely. And like another classic definition that we have is that we're getting is a lot of veterans that owe child support that have all their money apportioned from the VA. So is that another issue that we can take on? Would they be eligible for the facility?
Right. Those were just statistics, and it's 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 for women and men and women. But the only thing that limits an individual from being eligible for the program is that they're veteran and that they're homeless. Anything else is up to your program to determine if they're going to be eligible. So if they have back rent or back child support, that's a different issue than if they would be eligible for the program.
Okay, but they'd still be eligible, right?
Yes, the only eligibility requirements for the program is that they're a veteran, which means that they were discharged from the Army with anything but a dishonorable discharge. So if they had an honorable or other than dishonorable discharge, then they would be eligible, and then they would have to be considered homeless under that definition that we talked about at the very beginning.
There's no 120 days of continuous service requirement?
That would become into their DD-214, and that would be determined underneath that if they were discharged and what type of discharge they have.
Okay.
I believe there was a woman who had a question. I'm sorry, I don't.
That's
hard
okay. I had a question. What you just said about the 75% number.
Okay.
So can you just repeat that?
Sure. So, for instance, if you wanted to build a 100-bed facility, at least 75% of those beds have to be for veterans. The VA would help pay for the 100-bed facility, but once the program gets up and running, those 25 beds would not be eligible for funding if they're not if veterans aren't in there. If you end up having a whole 100 of those beds filled with veterans, then they would be eligible, but you would have to have made sure that you were asking for 100 beds and that that they would be filled to capacity. If you wanted to have a 100-bed facility, 75 of them would be veterans. The other 25 could be for their children, their spouses, significant others. That's fine, but just know that you're not going to be able to get per diem for those 25 beds.
Okay, so you're
talking. Another question.
Okay, hold on, sir. Let her finish her question, please.
So you're saying that would be for a capital grant?
Yes, so we're talking about specifically about capital grants right now.
Okay, so that's not for per diem.
Per diem only applies to the beds that are approved. If you get a capital grant, then you can apply for per diem. There's a checkbox that you fill in, but you would have to tell them how many beds you're applying for within that, and they would have to be for veterans.
Okay, and that's where I was confused. So I just want to make sure if we had a 100-bed facility already and we're just asking for a per diem grant, then 75 of the 100 beds would not have to be VA.
Correct. But just as I talked about earlier, what we're aware of is a capital grant that's going to be coming out. So everything we're talking about right now is referring to a capital grant.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I think I'm going to move on because I'm going to have more questions at the end. So if I didn't get to it, I'm not going to ignore you. I just want to make sure I get through the application process, and then I'll be glad to answer questions towards the end. So if you could just hang on to your question, I'll get to those towards the end. Right now we're on slide 13, getting ready to go on to slide 14, the application process. This is a very brief process that I'm going to go over, a very quick process that we're going to go over because I know there's a lot of questions. What's going to happen is that there's going to be a NOFA announcement. And if you're on slide 15, it talks about a NOFA, which is a Notice of Funds Available. It provides guidance and it gives you the rules and regulations on the actual grant. So when we're talking about how much is available, how much in each organization can apply for, who and what the limitations are, all of those types of things are going to be listed in the NOFA. We don't know that until it comes out. So what I would encourage you to do is to sign up for our listserv, and you'll get an email about that. We will also be having a conference call once that NOFA comes out to describe and talk about the specifics of that. So if you're wondering how much, what's the limit, all of those types of things, I don't know until that NOFA comes out. All I can tell you for sure, and this is what I've been told, so it may change, is that it's going to be a capital grant. Beyond that, I'm not entirely sure. All of that will be provided in that NOFA, the Notice of Funds Available.
$32.
Once that comes out, you're going to want to download the instructions in the application package. Read and reread all of the instructions, even if you've applied for funds before. Sometimes things change and there will be different rules and regulations. There are, you'll see the different, six different sections here from A through E, and these are all the different sections that you're going to have to fill out in order to submit that application. The good news is that the application is formatted in a question and answer period, meaning there'll be a question and a space for you to fill in the answer. What I'll tell you is that's the only space you have. You can't make it bigger. You can't make it smaller. It all has to fill into that space, and you're going to want to answer just the question that they're asking, nothing more, nothing less. So that's the good news is that the application, which we will have available on our website following this call, all of these sections are going to be fill-in-the-blank type things. The general information instructions is going to explain to you when it's due, the page limits, the different formatting requirements, how to put tables and materials, letters of agreement, MOUs, all of those types of things will be included in the instructions and the general information. And it will also talk about how your application is going to be scored. You're going to want to look through that and make sure that you're spending the appropriate amount of time on one section versus the other. If one section is only worth 5 points, you're going to want to spend more time on a section that's worth 150 points. And that's just something to take into consideration when you're filling out that application. Once you download that and you complete it, you're going to complete it and send it in. This is the most important thing. It doesn't matter if you've done everything correctly. If that application does not get to the Grant Per Diem office, which is in Florida, the address will be listed in that application by the due date and time that is listed. It's usually 4 or 5 p.m. of the day. It will not be eligible for funding, no question about it. It has to be there. I suggest that you submit it FedEx, any type of carrier that will give you a delivery confirmation and guarantee that it will be delivered there is the best way to go. I'm not condoning anything over the other, but it's in your best interest to make sure that that application is submitted on time and that you have a guarantee that it will be submitted and delivery confirmation that it was submitted at the appropriate time. Most of the questions that you're going to have in regards to the application can be found, the answers can be found in the general instructions. For instance, if you're asking about what the font size is or if you're asking about how do I fill in this chart, how do I attach certain charts, whatever it may be, most of those questions are going to be answered in the general information sections. The questions that individuals have on funding limits, who the eligible applicants in areas are, who would be eligible for certain amounts, all of that can be found in the NOFA. And so by reading those two documents, you're going to have a pretty good sense of most of the questions that you may encounter. I will say that here's our 1-800 number here, 1-800-VET-HELP, and you can always call us or you can call the Grant Per Diem office as well if you have specific questions once that does come out. Once you send in your application and the VA Grant Per Diem office receives it in Florida, each application is going to go through a threshold review, which means that you have your 501c3 status, that you have all of the documents signed, that you downloaded it all correctly, and that everything is filled in. Once that happens, what that basically guarantees is that you have a complete application. It is then going to go through a panel review, which 3 to 5 people will read and score your application. Keep in mind that these individuals are within the field of homeless veteran service providers. They may be clinicians, they may be service providers themselves, but it's really important that you know that they're not going to be from your area. So if you say the most important thing here is that if someone takes your application, they will know from start to finish when that veteran walks into your program to when that veteran walks out of your program exactly what is going to happen to them. There's no assuming, there's no assumptions, there's no guessing on what the project is going to be involved with and the types of services that will be offered. One of the greatest things that one of my professors always told me was that when you're submitting a proposal for funding, give it to somebody that has no idea what you do or the type of work that you do. Have them read the application, and they should have a good sense of the types of programs that you're offering, the types of intervention, the types of case management, and a very clear sense of everything that will be involved with that program. If they do, then you're great. If not, and there's holes and questions, and you need to go back through and make sure that those are answered, because the application should stand by itself. You're not going to be able to answer questions or provide additional information. Everything must be included within that application. Some of the best programs that we've found as we've seen gone throughout the community are programs that in most instances have a veteran focus, which in a lot of cases is veterans helping veterans. So, a military model somewhere where there's a mentoring project, transitional housing that provides holistic environments. As I said earlier, a lot of these veterans don't have that community and family support. So the support that they're going to get is going to be through this program, and you want to make sure that it's just not a place where they come and eat dinner and sleep. You want to make sure it's an environment where all of those services, both mentally, physically, are going to be met for those programs to be most successful. This means that you're going to have individual case management that includes employment training, placement services, all of the things that you and I all need to or have taken in order to become a successful individual are going to need to be provided within that in those services. Some of the helpful tips for completing your application is that your narrative should set the stage for your proposal and summarize the rest of your submission. There is a portion of the first portion of the application gives an overview of the program. My suggestion is to write that at the very end. Write your executive summaries at the end, because at that point you'll have a good idea of the summary of your project, and you'll be able to condense that into a page or so and give a general overview of what you're going to be offering. Letter support are great. If you're not working with the VA, now is the time to call them up on the phone. Let them know who you are, what types of programs you're looking to be offering. You're not only going to receive referrals from them, but they're also going to be the agency that administers and regulates your funding, as well as reports that you are in compliance. So it's a very important relationship that needs to be started early if you already haven't done that. The biggest thing that people lack in their proposal is the amount of need in your area. You want to show that there is a great need in your area. As I said before, this is a nationally competitive grant, which means that you're going to have to tell the funders why your area should get the funding versus some other organization that would be just as needy. You're going to have to describe why your organization is better than some other one. And keep that in mind, because need is often the determining factor. You want to make sure that your activities are using the VA resources as much as possible and encouraging health care and all of those types of benefits from that. Collaboration is key. You want to make sure that you're not duplicating resources, as I said, that your goals and objectives are timely and limited, and that you are able to achieve those. If you're going to start a new program, it's better to start small than to say 100% of your participants are going to receive jobs. Things happen, people leave programs. In all likelihood, you're most likely not going to get 100% of your participants to receive jobs, maybe 90%, maybe 80%. It's better to start lower at maybe 60 or 70% than a higher limit and actually achieve those goals than not be able to attain them. And if you're specifically targeting an area or a group in your program, make sure that you have staff that are particularly able to handle that. So, for instance, if you're dealing with homeless women veterans, make sure you have staff that have experience and knowledge in order to deal with that type of population and that the services that you are offering are focused on their needs. Some of the strengths of application is we talked about the challenge report. Did you really do a needs assessment? Do you have a good understanding of the homeless veteran population in your area? The needs of a veteran in California are going to be very different than the needs of a veteran in Montana, not only geographically, but probably also due to some of the health concerns that they may have. So take that into consideration. Download your challenge data. Use your census, whatever other data if you have a homelessness count, but make sure you use that challenge data within your application. Once again, defining your objectives and making sure that you're measurable and that you can actually break them down by single objectives that can be reached. If you can secure your matching funds the time the application is submitted, then you're going to receive leveraging points. Even if you have a letter from a bank that says if the VA funds you, they will provide backing, that's considered matching funding because they're guaranteeing that match if the VA funds you. You want to coordinate with other programs in your community, specifically the local VA. Like I said, they're going to become your new best friend, and now is the time to make that connection. And if you have specific questions, make sure that you get technical assistance because if you don't answer or don't fill out that application correctly, there's a possibility that you may not get past that threshold review. So as we wrap up here, kind of the next steps once that NOFA does come out is to download the application. And you can get the sample grant application. We will have it on our website, and Christine will provide links to that. The application doesn't change year to year. In most instances, there may be a couple changes, but the general format is the same. So go ahead and download that. Start filling it out so that way when the NOFA is announced, you can make your modifications and ensure that your organization is ready to go once that announcement comes out. Make sure that you've assessed the needs of your community and that you've selected your target population based on that assessment. And go ahead and subscribe to the NCHV listserv because once that NOFA comes out, it'll let you know the NOFA's out. It'll let you know that we're having a conference call as well as any other materials that we will have accessible to that. So keep in mind that now is the time to really get prepared for this and make sure that your organization is got its plans and all of its things set up to get ready for this application process. Usually what happens is a NOFA is announced, and there's usually a six-week period that the application will be due. After 6 weeks, it's usually about 120 days once the due date comes. 120 days after the due date is when the VA will start making preliminary selections. And what that means is if your organization is conditionally selected, they will send you a letter requesting some additional information, usually matching funds, some of your planning documents, architectural designs, those types of things. And then once they doesn't mean that if you're conditionally selected that you're automatically approved, it says they want some additional information. At that point, you submit, they're going to let you know what you need, you submit your information, and then it's usually 2 to 4 weeks after that to let them know that the application has been approved. And once the application has been approved is when you can begin to draw those funds. So you have about 6 weeks once the NOFA comes out, and then after that about 120 days until you have been notified that the project will be there. The other big question is how long do you have before you can spend the money? It varies project to project, and there are some extensions that you can get from the VA, but just know that you are going to have to at least draw down some of the money within the first year, and then you'll have to work with the VA past that in order to determine it. But within the first 12 months, you will have to start some construction of the project. Okay, we have about 15 minutes left for questions. I can go over that. Keep in mind that there are a lot of people on the call, and that if we don't get your question on this call, we will be available via phone and email for the remainder of this week and next week to answer questions. So please be patient and you know, ask your question in a timely manner, and we can get through as many questions as we possibly can. So if you have a question, please, you can hit *7 to unmute your phone.
Hello, ma'am, I have a question.
Okay.
Ma'am, does the per diem include food? Do you provide, like, are you supposed to provide three meals a day besides the support services?
Yes, food is one of the things that should be covered within those services.
So, the max per diem is $32 and some change?
That's correct.
Is there a program that's keeping families together? Because in our market here, the shelters are all house women and children, but they don't house the veteran, the male veteran, and so that's a big issue if they're not going to cover per diem for the children and the spouse of the veteran. So is there some other program in there that we can look at?
Well, you can look at a lot of the and that's where programs have to get kind of creative with what they're doing, is that if you can tell, even if it's another federal program, because you're not necessarily, you're not requesting match money from them for the per diem, but if you can go to your local either continuum of care or your health and human services or whoever it may be in your community that's funding those types of programs, if you can go to them and tell them that, I can secure funding for this veteran. All I need is to secure funding for you know, his wife and children. That sometimes is a benefit to them, because your organization wouldn't have access to funding that other organizations wouldn't, because you're serving veterans.
Okay, but I mean, still, even with that, it just seems like, you know, in the meantime, while you're trying to figure out that, you end up splitting up the family to.
That's the design of your program, and it really just depends on how you set that up.
Okay.
Programs have successfully done it and have not had issues with it, but it would just be something that your organization would have to have a policy and make a decision on. Okay, is there another question? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
I did not receive the email that you sent earlier with today's discussion issue, and I would like to know where I can get that from.
You mean the presentation?
Yes.
Okay, on our website, which is nchv.org. On the right-hand side, there's a graphic that says NCHV conference calls.
Okay.
When you click on that, a new page is going to open up. It says the link there talks about the capital grant. When you click on that, the date for this call comes up, and it says to download the materials there, and that's where you can find it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Are there another question? Is there another question?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Will we be able to listen to this conference again when we are, or do we just get the flip chart?
We will be sending out a link to those. Did you receive the materials this morning?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We will be sending out the link for those individuals who were registered, and if you received the materials this morning, then yes, we will get that. If for some reason you did not, perhaps your email address was incorrect or something along those lines, you can email Christina. Her
yes.
email address is nchv6 at nchv.org. Only do that if you didn't receive the materials this morning. If you receive the materials, then everything is fine, and you will get a link to the recording the next couple of days.
Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I want to make sure I understood you correctly. We cannot submit this electronically over grants.gov?
That's correct. You,
okay.
Well, I've been, what in the past you have not been able to. It's a printout application that you submit a hard copy, three copies of it too.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is a good question. Yes, it is not typically done through grants.doc like all the other federal grants. It is a printout document that you submit three hard copies of it. In the past, they have not allowed grants.gov submission. I don't know if they'll do it this time, but majority, 99% of the applicants do submit it hard copy with no problem. Another question? Okay, so some of the things to keep in mind is that it is something that you are going to download and submit. There is going to be most likely a limit of funding when that NOFA comes out, so you want to take a look at that. You're also going to want to make sure that you go ahead and download that application currently, and we'll put that list and notes up on our website, and take into consideration any of the limits that may come into play. When you're doing your budget, you want to make sure that you look at your entire total budget and take 65% of that. And also take into consideration any of the things that may come into cost for renovations. The one thing I did not talk about is that you're going to have to go through an inspection if you're going to be building or constructing or rehabbing. The VA grant per diem liaison, which is at your local medical center, is the person you should introduce yourself to. But they're going to come in and do a life safety, life, fire, and safety code inspection. And that means that you're going to have the sprinklers, the wheelchair ramps, all of those types of things in your building. So get a copy of those from your local VA grant per diem liaison. And when you're building your specs, make sure that you include those things within the cost. Because there are programs that have finished the entire construction phase, gone to a they have gone to where they're going to have an inspection and have not been able to open it because there has been problems with their program design. That means that you wouldn't be eligible to receive grant and per diem funds because you aren't considered eligible because you haven't passed that inspection. So you are going to have to pass an inspection before you can start to receive those per diem payments.
Where did you say we get that information from?
Your local VA at your medical center, there's a grant and per diem liaison. That's the person who administers the grant locally. They approve your payments, which is the most important thing, obviously. But they're going to have a list of those life and fire safety codes for you. And you get them locally.
Hello, ma'am?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, ma'am, I have a question. How many successful programs have been put together in the last few years under these guidelines? Because it seems very difficult.
Currently, I think there's around 1,500 programs throughout the country and around, I would say, close to, I don't know the exact number of beds, but there's quite a number of beds that have been put into place. But, yes, there are close to 1,500 in all 50 states. We do have some program profiles on our website. On the left-hand side, it says VA grant and per diem program profiles, and it could give you an idea of some of the overview of some of the other programs across the country that you could take a look at.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? If you take a look and you realize that you do have questions, you can always reach me either via phone, like I said, 1-800-VET-HELP, or you can send me an email. Once again, my name is Melanie, and my email is nchv5@nchv.org. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you may have. Christina will be sending out the link to the recording of this call. And then if you have any questions or need any further instructions, you can always let us know at that point in time also. But for right now, go ahead and make sure that you download that application, take a look through it. And once that NOFA is announced, stay tuned to NCHV. We will be providing another technical assistance conference call to go over the details of that NOFA.
But can you repeat your email address again one more time, please?
Sure. It's NC.
Is it Nancy?
N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, H as in Harry, V as in Victor, 5@nchv.org. And my name is Melanie.
Melanie, I have a question.
Okay.
I heard you say something about there being a limit on building, because in my situation, I plan on building, so...
Typically, the VA, there will be a limit on how much that they will fund. The largest project I've seen them fund in the last couple of years has been to $1.9 million is the total. But in some instances, they limit it depending on, it's been as low as $400,000. So you really have to take, I can't tell you if there's going to be a limit or not, or what that limit's going to be, or how high it's going to be. It will be listed in that NOFA. There usually is a limit on the amount that they will fund per project, though.
But if you have a contractor that's going to be handling the building and doing the doing your whatever you call it.
Architectural design?
Architectural design, thank you. If you have a contractor already doing that, so how do the contractor know what the limit is before you send in the application?
You don't. You'll know before you send in the application. As soon as that NOFA is announced, it'll tell you what the limits are, and then your contractor would have to work around those limitations in order to get the building built.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I also have a question, please.
Okay.
We're looking at that project challenge on the website that you talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Looks as though this is from 2007. Is there a way of getting something newer, or is this, we just live with whatever's on the VA website?
2007 is the most recent. It's a year. It's done every year. They haven't released 2008 yet.
Thank you. The purpose, again, of utilizing the challenge is just to make sure you're not duplicative.
No, the purpose of the challenge report is twofold. One, it shows the VA that you understand that the VA is doing a survey within the community. The VA spends a lot of money to do that survey, and if you're asking for VA funds, you want to use the VA survey. The second is that it provides a list of the most requested needs in your area, and because the VA spends a lot of money on that survey, they want to make sure that those needs are being met. So within, at the very end, you can download it based on your geographic location or your VISN, and it'll list the greatest needs of the veterans in that program, and they want to make sure that the needs are met within the programs they fund.
Thank you very much.
Was there another question?
Yes, ma'am. Melanie.
Yes.
We were curious, what's a good point of contact that we can write down in the future to get a hold of?
In reference to?
At the VA.
Is just the VA's 1-800 number there?
Oh, no, like a regional rep, say for like Southern California, who's a regional rep that we should get to know?
It would be your local grant per diem liaison, and you would just have to call your local medical center. I don't have a list. They don't provide that to me, unfortunately.
No problem. We'll look that up. I appreciate the information.
But it would be at your local VA medical center, and you're going to ask for the grant per diem liaison, and they should be able to refer you to that individual.
Thank you.
Yeah, they don't give me a list, unfortunately. Was there another question? It's *7 to unmute your line. I can stay on just for a few more minutes, and like I said, we'll be happy to answer questions as the week goes on, and once the announcement comes out, we'll be available to answer questions also. Okay, well, I'll be cognizant of everyone's time, and thank you for participating. We will be offering a conference call once the NOFA does come out. The conference call for next week will be covering the same material, so unless you want to listen to me give the same presentation, there is no need to be present on the next set of calls. But once we do have an updated list of our conference calls, that will be provided on our website. We want to thank everybody for taking the time to participate in the call today. And if you have any additional questions, feel free to give me a call or email, and I'd be glad to answer anything else that may come up.
Excuse me, Melanie?
Yes.
Can you give me the email address for that challenge report again?
The challenge report is on the VA's website, and we'll go ahead and put a link on our website, but if you want to look at it now, it's va.gov. On the right-hand side of that page, it says Homeless Veterans towards the right-hand bottom side of the page. And once that page, the homeless page opens up, it says challenge on the left-hand side, challeng, and that will give you access to the report. It's a PDF that you have to download. But that's how you can find it. We'll also put a link up when we send you the link to the audio conference call link. We'll send you that will be listed on the page there also with the sample application.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and have a great day. And like I said, if you have any other questions, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you.